Praise the Lord. Very happy to be able to be with you today and to be able to share the Word of God with you. I'm not a person that is opposed to you responding to the Word of God. In fact, if you hear something that you like, say amen. If you hear something you don't like, say, oh me, or oh my. I don't mind you responding to the Word of God. I think that we need to respond to the Word of God. It's something that God wants us to do. So I'm also one of those people who like to move around. I don't like to stand in one spot. I just kind of like to move around. So I hope it doesn't make you nervous or it makes you uncomfortable. But that's the way it is with how it works with me. So praise God. Amen. I'm very excited to be here. I really am. Two, three years ago. One of the things that the Lord told me, now sometimes I speak kind of fast too, so if I speak too fast and you don't understand me, tell me to slow down. Praise the Lord. Usually I have a translator and they're doing like this, you know, pulling on my shirt tail. Hallelujah. Several years ago when I first came to Ethiopia, the Lord said to me, He said, I am going to visit the Ethiopian people. Hallelujah. So I am looking for God to do something in and amongst you as a people to bring the reality and the desire of God to a position or a place of manifestation. We are not trying to build anything for ourselves. That is not in the scheme of things. What we are wanting to do is give you the keys by which you might be able to find God. Because I may never be back again. I don't know where I'm going to be next year. It is on the direction of God. That's not saying I'm not coming back. But the fact of the matter is, I do not know whether I will be coming back or not. So, but if I can leave you with some of these keys by which you might unlock the reality of God. You know, the Bible in the New Testament talks about the gospel of the kingdom or the position or the desire of God. The terminology that it uses is, it calls it a mystery. Mystery is something that is puzzling. You can't quite make it out. It's something that is going on behind the scenes, and you don't know quite what is happening. And that's what the Bible calls the mystery of the kingdom of God. If you were to go into Matthew chapter 13, I'm not necessarily going to go into it, but make your note to check it out. You know, one thing. Church, most people who come to church, I'm not saying you are like that, so don't be offended with me. But most people who come to church hear a word and they go away and they say, what a good word that was. And they don't open their Bibles. They don't look into the Word. They don't get down into it. You know, and you and I have a responsibility to check out what we are being told about God. Hello? Are you there? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to hear from God that what we are hearing from another person is God. Hallelujah. And we can do that because we have something called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 talks about the Holy Spirit. It's not given to you just for the purpose of miracles and things of that nature. And I don't know whether you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not, but I do. It is my experience. It is the position or relationship that I've had with God. And I got baptized in a very unique way. When I was a young man needing that authority in my life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I began to seek the face of God, began to try to find God so that I might receive that gift. Now, I was raised up by my mother, who was a very good Southern Baptist person. So I spent most of my life in the Baptist church. Hallelujah. My younger days in the Baptist church. But it came a time when my mother found out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when she found out about there was something else in God, of course she was bringing us boys along. You know how mothers are, right? They want to bring the boys along, you know. And they want them to be righteous. You mothers who have children, I want to encourage you in your position of responsibility. You have a position. But I also want to encourage you in your position of faith towards God concerning your children. You know, I have children. They're all grown. My wife and I have 7 children. And I have 19 grandchildren. So I have plenty of practice, you know, in the operation of family and children, and it has been a big blessing in my life. Half the time when I'm disciplining my children, when I was disciplining my children, God was revealing something in me. Hallelujah. So it wasn't that the child was just being disobedient. It was something that he had inherited from me. Hallelujah. So I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And John chapter 14 says that the Holy Spirit is given to you for one reason. Now, there's many benefits from having the Holy Spirit, but there's one reason why you have the Holy Spirit. Because, and it's in the name that he calls it in John chapter 14. He says, I will give to you, I will send to you another, and it is what? Yes, but he also said, it is the Spirit of truth. Truth about what? Huh? Truth about governments, truth about lands, truth about this, that. No. Truth about God. So God wants you and I to know the truth that is in him. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that there is a mystery here within the covers of this book. A mystery. And that mystery is written in all of the different ways in the different forms from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. God tells us in the first part of the book. Before I do that, how many of you know that this book is symbolic? Huh? I mean, you know what symbolism is, right? They give you a symbol and it represents something else, right? And in its own context, that's a mystery. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that that it is also written in the form of a parable? Huh? Matthew chapter 13, he's talking to the multitudes of people, and he says in that, they ask him, why are you talking to them in parables? Why? And he went on to say to them that because of their position in relationship with him. Hello? Are you there? With their relationship with them, it was given to them the ability to know. Hallelujah. Now, they were sitting with Jesus and he could verbally begin to explain to them the meaning of the things that he was saying. Well, we don't have the physical presence of Jesus Christ. But what we do have is the other part of the Godhead. Isn't that exciting? Huh? It's not something mundane. It's not something that is boring. When you think about the reality is that there is something that is totally God that can be inside of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have all of these tools, and so it is that God wants to teach us how to use them and how to receive the benefit of them. God doesn't give us something that He does not want us to understand what it is. You know, I can get very active too. You know, sometimes I shout. Sometimes I jump. You know, some of these things, you know, I just can't sit in the presence of God or be in the presence of God and it doesn't do something for me. Sometimes when God begins to come, it's like a coffee pot on the stove. You know what I mean? You turn the heat up and it begins to boop, boop. Do you have the percolators? You still have those? I don't know. Maybe you don't have those. They had a little bubble on the top and the thing that the fluid goes up through the top. Well, that's what it feels like sometime in the presence of God. Hotter the fire gets, the more it bubbles. And the more it jumps. Praise the Lord. Some of you are looking at me kind of strange, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me, if you would. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me over into 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, the third chapter. Hallelujah. This is the verse that the Lord began to talk with me as I was considering my coming to Africa. I also might tell you that I have been coming to Africa for almost 30 years. We started back there when I was a very young man. We have spent many years in 20 years, sorry. We spent many years going in and out of Nigeria. Most of the people I minister to there now are very grown and very well educated, and they've got their families, and some of them are carrying the gospel that we brought to them to some of the parts of Africa. Some of those brothers have been here in fellowship with some of you here also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. I want to start at the 17th verse. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, liberty is given to us for a reason. Hallelujah. And it's not your reason, it's not my reason. The reason of liberty that God gives us is for the benefit of Him. You know, when Jesus came, He says, I do nothing except that which I see the Father do. I say nothing except that which I hear the Father say. So the total purpose of Jesus Christ was to manifest the Father. Hallelujah. Now, what is the principle on which He was standing? Do you understand what I mean? He had to have an authority in order to say that. He had to have a word of God in order to say that. They didn't know He was the Son of God. Hallelujah. And yet, there was something that they had that gave Him the authority to say that. And that something was a word that God spoke in the very beginning. What the Jews had in the coming of Jesus Christ was the Old Testament. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And everything about Jesus and the plan of God was in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So they had the ability to perceive something more than what the man was saying. Hello? Okay, Genesis, first chapter. What was the plan? What was the purpose? What was the thing that this man, Jesus, wanted to establish? Well, in the first chapter of Genesis, it goes through the 6 days of creation, and all of the things, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, down to the sixth day. Hallelujah. And it was on the evening of the sixth day, I believe it was, that God finally made the thing for which He created everything that He had created. The creation of Adam was not just something that happened in the sequence of creation. God was creating all of the things that He was creating so that He might commission and give to man a position or a place of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only did He want to give him a position of authority, but He wanted to give him a position or a place with Him, God. Do you hear me? Maybe you don't agree with me, but nevertheless, it's right there. Huh? Praise the Lord. If you agree, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. I don't care. Praise the Lord. You know, you look at me like you don't like me or something. Praise the Lord. And I haven't been here long enough for you to be in that mood yet. Praise the Lord. Now, as I grow on you, you may find me a little irritating, but you know. Praise the Lord. So here in the 26th verse, God finally comes to the culmination, to the point of which He had been thinking all along. And He said, let us create man. Praise the Lord for that thought. Praise the Lord for that position. Praise the Lord for that authority. And when he didn't just create man, but He created man in a specific way. Hallelujah. With a specific destiny. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, when my sons were born, they had a destiny. Do you understand? As a father, I'm thinking, well, they can do this, they can do that, they can be this, they can be over here, they can grow up in here. And in my mind, I am creating for him a destiny. Hallelujah. And so everything I do throughout his life is pushing him toward that destiny. Amen? As it is in the natural, what does it say? So it is in the spiritual. The problem is, we're more aware of this. You know? This is real. Huh? The thing that we can't see, huh, is not so real. And so therefore, not so predominant, or so we are not so conscious of it. But that's one of the reasons why He gives you the Holy Spirit. So that you might be conscious of it. There's a lot of things about the Holy Spirit that we don't understand. And I wish we had more time. We'd probably get into some of that. But if you can get what we are sharing with you, I think I would be satisfied. Praise the Lord. So He said, let us make man in our own image. And after our own likeness. Now, what does your Ethiopian Bible say? Does it say the same thing? Huh? The same thing is, you know, when we look in the English, when you look at the word image, it means a duplicate position of what is being duplicated. Huh? Is that what it means? What about likeness? Huh? What is your word in likeness? What does it mean? Huh? Now, in God, it is to be the same as. To be like something is to be the same as. Hello? Now, does your Ethiopian Bible say that? Huh? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So, your Bible says the same thing as my English Bible. Huh? So that means you and I are in fellowship with the same God. Hallelujah. So my concept of what is being said here is not going to be different than what yours should be if you read it. Okay. So you're not only created in the image of God, but God wants to make you to be like Him. Can I ask you a question? You think God has changed His mind?
No.
Well, then we're in trouble. Because I look in the mirror And I don't see a whole lot of God. Huh? I see a whole lot of my father. Huh? I see a whole lot of my mother. God bless them. They both passed on to be with the Lord. I see a whole lot of my grandfather and my grandmother on both sides looking back at me. Hallelujah. So it must mean that I have not yet achieved that position of likeness. Is that an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So if that's an amen, and it was in the intent and the plan of God for me to be that way, then there must be something here that God is offering me in order to accomplish it. Huh? Come on, now you're getting suspicious, aren't you? You think I'm trying to manipulate you into a place to say something that you don't want to say. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to make you a challenge. You get in the Word and prove me wrong. Praise the Lord. Huh? That's your responsibility, not to prove me wrong, but to find God. And I can guarantee you, when you find God, you will say, yes, amen, that's the word of the Lord. So there was a position, there was a place of authority that was given in the Word of God. Now, this is God talking right from the beginning. It's not like a man that comes up to you and says, thus saith the Lord, and he begins to prophesy about your situation and give you some prophetic word. This is God talking. Hallelujah. So, first thing that I ask God is, how am I created in your image? Because I don't believe that God has God in his present state of godness has eyes, ears, nose, hands, feet like me. But there is something that of me that is very much like God and like you, dear. Hallelujah. That is very much like the image of God. I'm a farmer by trade. That's one of the hats I used to wear. I'm a farmer, and I know that every seed produces after its own kind. Every seed. I plant a tomato, I don't get a turnip. Huh? I plant a turnip, I don't get a tomato. But if I plant a tomato, I get a tomato. Hallelujah. So everything that the tomato is in the seed that God created it to be. Hello? So you can look at the position or the place of the image of God in the aspect of it being something of a seed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh boy. You're going to make me work today, aren't you? Hallelujah. But what we are created in the image of God, is in the triuneness of God. The three aspects of God's character that make Him God. What are they? God the Father, right? God the Holy Spirit, right? And God, huh? The Son, right? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
All of them God. Right?
Yes.
Huh? That's what he said, you know. I in the Father in me, huh? Hallelujah. In oneness. Oneness means oneness. It means you can't distinguish one from the other. Because they all are God. Is that right? Can you say amen to that? Huh? And they reveal the character or the aspect of God and what He is. Well, I am, you are, hallelujah. Let me put this in a different color. Hallelujah. You are spirit, right? You are soul, right? You are what? Body. Huh? Now, and the three comprise What God calls man. Now, ladies, don't get upset with me. In the gods, you were, he, in the beginning, God created he, them. Male and female. And I want to tell you something. He did not bless, he blessed them in that form. Hello? Come on. He blessed them. He blessed them before he split them and divided them. So the blessing that is on man is the blessing that is on the woman. Hallelujah. And it's not, but you know, the devil, he does what he wants to do. And he does it to the very best that he can do. What he wants to do is to separate them, right? Man, woman. And they become, they move into a spirit of competition. Hello? They move into a spirit of competition. Hello? All competing for the same goal without the other. All wanting to be in a position of preeminence over the other. I have news for you. There is no position of authority without coming back to the position that God ordained in the beginning. You understand? Hallelujah. God in truth, God is interested in union. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So anytime you find yourself in a position of contention because you are woman or you are man, you're not moving under the auspices of the authority of God. Come on, I'm just giving you a key. I'm giving you a key. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To understand how the devil and God works in our lives. You know the reason why we have competition between man and woman? Do you want to know the reason? It's because we don't trust God. And we don't trust God because we don't know God. And one of the indictments to the church in this hour is that the church as a whole, as a unit, does not know God. Hallelujah. Wasn't that the indictment that was brought against the church in Jesus' day? Do you remember the parable of the five wise and the five foolish? Huh? That means that there is a wise ministry, right? Five wise, five foolish. There is a wise ministry, right? Hallelujah. Ministry. Oh, well, come on. Hallelujah. Maybe I should have her writing, right? Hallelujah. There's a wise ministry, but there is also a foolish ministry. Huh? Foolish ministry. Praise the Lord. And the result of the wise ministry was what? They went in through the door. When the bridegroom came, they were prepared. They were ready. What was the result of the foolish ministry? Huh? What was the result of it? They were shut out. Hallelujah. And why were they shut out? I don't know you. So there's a knowing of God that God wants to give to you and I as what he calls the church. A knowing, hallelujah, that works with him, that gives us something, hallelujah, that gives us the ability, right? The ability to enter in through the door. Praise the Lord. And that is something that is missing with the foolish virgins. Hallelujah. One of the most difficult positions of knowing Jesus Christ in the fullness that he wants to know is our perception of it. Did you know that each of us, when we read the Bible, and we're just reading it, and not so much under the power of the Holy Spirit, we form an opinion. Hallelujah. And if that opinion is not in context, biblical context, with regards to what Jesus wants to do, it hinders us from knowing Him. Hello? This was the trouble with the church when Jesus came. Do you know that? They had the Scripture. They had the knowledge of a Messiah. They had the knowledge of a position or a place of preeminence because of the Messiah. But their opinion of it was not consistent with the plan of God. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you understand how important this is? If you have a certain opinion, and that opinion is contrary to the way that God wants to take you, then you're going to resist God. And you're not going to find the fullness. Look. They knew, let me give you an example. They knew that in the Scriptures, it says that He would be called a Nazarene. Hello? But when Jesus came, what did they respond? They said, does anything good come out of Nazareth? They had the Scripture. Hallelujah. That He would be called a Nazarene. Hallelujah. So they assumed that He was to be born, that He was born in Nazareth. Do you follow the logic? Do you follow the reasoning? And because they thought that, and they knew that the Scripture said that He must come out of Bethlehem. Isn't that right? Why didn't they ask Him where He was born? Simple. And yet they did not ask it on the basis of how they perceived Him and how it was in opposition to their ambitions. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. So He said unto them, He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Praise God. Hallelujah. I need my clock. I have a tendency just go and go and go until you all fall asleep. And then I'm in trouble. Hallelujah. Let them have dominion. My goodness, come on. This thought of dominion the thought of dominion here, as it is written, is theoretical. Do you understand the word theoretical? It's a theory. It's an idea. But it's not something that is actually yet being manifested. It's like your position, your place of salvation. Hello? Hallelujah. It's theoretical in one sense or another because you haven't yet crossed over into the realm of heaven. Hallelujah. So on the theoretical concept of what it is that you have of heaven, you behave a certain way. You behave. You don't do certain things that the world does out there. You don't act a certain way that the world does out there. There are certain things that you say and the way that you talk and the way that you view things because of your position or your place of what you call being saved, right? It's theoretical. And you're hoping that whatever you do will qualify you to get into that position. Or is my thought of that different? Is your thought different than that?
No.
Are you? Yeah. Do we have an amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen means so let it be. Hallelujah. I am in agreement with you. Yes. That way you don't leave me in the dark guessing what's happening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it's a theoretical concept. It's something that has not yet manifested itself. yourself in the realm of actuality. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the only actual representation that we had was Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, He began to work the concept of dominion, not within the realm of His environment, but it's His external environment, okay? But His internal environment. Hallelujah. So it is not so much the world out here in the beginning that God wants to fix. Did you hear me? It's not the world out here that God, not in the beginning stages, is not the world out here that God wants to fix. The environment that God wants to fix, the environment that God wants to change, is in here. Hallelujah. And the in here becomes the governmental position of behavior. Huh? Hello? That means I don't have to stand over your shoulder, dear, and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Huh? You can't go over here and do that. Oh, you can't over here do that, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. But something inside of you tells you this behavior is unacceptable. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what we want to encourage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when things start falling apart, you know, you lived under, a lot of you lived under a communist regime, and there were certain things you could do and certain things you could not do. Hallelujah. And one of the things that you could not do without repercussion is to meet and have fellowship in the way that you might want to fellowship and worship the Lord. Isn't that right? Or was your communist regime different from the rest of them? Another thing that you had was persecution. Maybe your communist regime is different, but I come out of Europe. We went into Europe right after the curtain fell. Hallelujah. And begin to talk with the people and begin to fellowship with them and instruct them in the righteousness of God. And they were telling us stories and things that were happening and miracles that were happening in all of those places. God had to be there in order to sustain a people for the time that the curtain would fall. I want to tell you something. Those times are coming back. Hello? My Bible, Matthew 24, tells me that before Jesus Christ comes in actuality, there's going to be great tribulation, such as the world has never known. Hallelujah. Well, with great tribulation, there has to be a people who have the reality of God inside of them. Hello? And it is God's plan to put within you and those that you fellowship or associate with the ability to stand in the midst of great trial, persecution, and trouble. Hello? Hallelujah. We don't want it to come to an end, dear. We really, really don't even really want to think about it. But the fact of the matter, it's coming. Hallelujah. And more so here, it's more evident here in Africa than it is in other places of the world, because here in Africa, the darkness is more predominant, more out in the open. Hallelujah. Whereas in Europe, or even in America, it's more underground and subtle, but nevertheless, expanding its position of influence, expanding its position of control, until they come to a point, till it comes to a point where the Bible says, great darkness. Isaiah 60. Yes. Isaiah 60 says, verse 1, it says, great darkness upon the earth and gross darkness, great darkness upon the people. Hallelujah. And it's the darkness on the earth is because of the darkness in the people. They are generating the darkness. The earth cannot generate darkness on its own. So God is wanting to prepare a people for that time. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you're hearing this word, you are part of that people that God wants to instill within them the ability of what it was He desired from the very beginning.
Amen.
Hello? God did not create a world just to have it destroyed. Hello? God created a world that He might raise up a people and destroy the wickedness that is in the world. And when I say destroy, I don't mean we're going out with guns and swords and begin to hack and kill and shoot. I mean that there is an authority that God wants within a people. Hallelujah. And there is a manifestation of that authority in Revelation. Hallelujah. When it talks about a two witness company. Hallelujah. And it says that fire came out of their mouth. Well, fire, I don't believe they were torch blowers. You know, maybe they were, I don't know. But I know what Elijah did. You hear me? Huh? What did Elijah do when the king sent his captain in his 50s?
Yeah.
Huh? What did he do? He called fire down from heaven and consumed the captain in his 50s. Huh? And what did he do? What was the result of that? Well, the last man they sent after him had a lesson in humility. He came scraping and bowing. Please don't call your fire down. Would you please, peradventure, come with me so that I might take you to my king? Because if you don't kill me, he will. Hallelujah. So there's an authority. Why did God put that in the Bible? Is it history? Is it history? If it's history, rip it out. Throw it away. Because history isn't going to help you and I in the time of trouble. You know, there was a man, there's a story of a man that was going to church. And the minister, as he was ministering, would say, well, this portion of scripture is not pertinent for us today. This was something that is historical. This is something that God did to show us His godness. And so every time he would say that, he would take the page out of his Bible. Until finally one day when he's walking out the door, you know, it's the story of the thin Bible. His Bible was about like that, and it goes thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner, you know, until it's just got a few pages left in it. You know, the pastor says to him, why is your Bible so small? He says, well, because you told me that everything that is in the Bible is not for me. And so I'm just keeping the pages that are pertinent for me. Hallelujah. The whole Bible is something that is pertinent to the will of God. Do we want to relegate the Old Testament, hallelujah, to a place in the past? Hallelujah. Jesus says, I've come not to do away with it, but I've come to fulfill it. Bring it to a place of completion. Hallelujah. When he said on the cross, it is finished. Hallelujah. It meant that he had fulfilled what he said was given to him to do. But yet, sin still in a position of preeminence. So, what did he fail?
No.
He has given you and I the tools by which we might do the part that was prophesied by God in the very beginning. Hello? He said, and make them and let them have dominion. Well, he gave him dominion over everything that he had created. And when he gave him dominion over everything he created, that means that he gave him dominion over his own soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, it's so much easier for us to think, well, he did it all, and all I have to do is hang on until he comes. But that's not the plan. That's not the purpose for which he created you and I. You know, what kind of God do we serve that would just save you so you could get into heaven? when the kingdom of heaven is inside of you. Huh? So what he wants you to do is to get into heaven, in heaven all around you, inside of you, outside of you, so that wherever you go and whatever you do, the king is involved. You're involved with the king's business, and he's making a dent in the sin that is out there. You know, one of the things that really impressed me in the very beginning, when I went down the street in Nigeria, Lagos, huh? And in Port Harcourt, and in Owerri, and other places, huh? What impressed me is you go a couple of doors and you would see a church. You go a couple of doors and you would see a church. You go a couple of doors, you would see another church, and another church, and another church. And there was this row of churches. And in India, the same thing. And yet, out on the sidewalk is somebody living in a cardboard house. Huh? And down in another place, somebody's eating out of a pile of garbage, you know, feeding her family there. She lives on the street there. So what is it that the church is doing? Huh? They're not changing the environment in which they live. Why? Well, maybe it's not necessarily there, but many people have given their lives for the sake of the gospel. I am not discounting that. Huh? I am not. You know, many of those people love God. They have been very responsible in God. And they have lived and they have died. And it is on the basis of their living and dying that God is now bringing another word. A word that brings the people yet into a higher realm, into a higher position of experience with a living God. You know, when I was a young man, I had this old beat up truck, you know, and on the bumper, I had a bumper sticker. You know, we went through in America, we had all these bumper stickers, and it said, "My God is not dead. How about yours?" Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
The meaning given to Adam.
Yes.
He forfeited that dominion.
Well, he did not accomplish it. But the commission was given to him. It was given to him, and it was because it was given to him, it was passed down unto us. Because he was the start of the human race. And what God prophesied over him was not just for Adam. How can a Alpha and Omega prophesy to one man one thing that isn't pertinent to the man that out of his bowels is going to come all of creation? Huh? It says of Abraham, all of them were blessed in Abraham. The promise that was given Abraham, all of them were blessed in Abraham. Hallelujah. And we have Abraham was the physician or the father of faith, which incorporates us into the plan and the purposes of God. Huh? Because it wasn't by works. It says, Abraham believed God. And it was what? Counted unto him as righteousness. So, that opens the door for you and I. Or at least it opens the door for me. You know, because I'm not Jewish. Hallelujah. I'm not Jewish. I'm not of the descent of Abraham in the natural lineage. But in the spiritual position of believing and the operation of faith, and because of my faith and what Jesus Christ did, I can appropriate my position of inheritance. Hello?
Adam was given dominance over the earth.
Yes.
But Jesus gave us dominion over what?
Jesus gave us dominion over our earth. Our earth, and as well as this earth. Okay? But you have to have dominion here first in order to exercise the dominion out here.
You have to take this kingdom first before you can rule in that kingdom.
That's right. So the kingdom of God is inside of you by virtue of your new birth.
This was
What do you do?
What must I do?
Okay, you're getting ahead. You're getting ahead of me. And maybe you have to come back to find out. Because we certainly can't give it all to you today. So if you want to know the rest of the story, maybe you'll have to come back. Praise the Lord. So he said, have dominion. Hallelujah. And I want to make sure that you truly understand that when God, truly understand that when God created man, there was in God's mind Jesus' day. Huh? Hallelujah. And your day, my day. God saw it from the first to the last. Here, this is an interesting thought. Let me give you an interesting thought about God. All right? Here you have God. Right? No beginning. Huh? No ending. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just giving this for you to chew on, you know. Praise the Lord. But in the midst of this eternity, He creates an element that He calls time. Huh? Right there? Right? Well, why does God need time? He's eternal. No end, no beginning. And yet, He calls Himself Alpha. Right? Praise the Lord. So that means in the midst of God's eternity, He created a point that is called time, and that time had a beginning, and not only did it have a beginning, but in the end of it, it had an ending. Huh? Hello? Hallelujah. So there must have been some concept, some idea that God had way out here, huh? An idea of God, right? Hallelujah. That was necessary for Him to create a vehicle or an environment to do what it was that He wanted to do concerning the realm of His existence. You see, He had something called the devil. Now, He did not create the devil. The devil created himself. That's what Isaiah says. That's what Ezekiel 28. That's what it says. I don't want to go into that. Just write it down. I don't want to get sidetracked, please. Hallelujah.
He created an angel. But He made Himself into a devil.
All right. Anyway, Mark can bring you a teaching on that. And then you can ask him all the questions. So, and that's Omega. Omega. I'm sorry. My writing is terrible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You think my writing is terrible, you ought to see my drawing. It's really bad. Praise the Lord. So He had a plan, He had a purpose, and the purpose was to defeat the devil. And in the defeating of the devil, He was going to do it in a way that there could be no contest. You understand? So He was going to take that which was doomed to fail. Hello? You and I, without God, we're no match for the devil. Huh? We were created a little lower than the devil. That means your authority, your position, even the substance of which we are made is something less than the substance and the position of authority that the devil has. Yeah, you know it says that God takes the foolish things. Huh? To what? Confound the wisdom of what? Of the wise of this world. Praise it. Because it says that the foolishness of God, what? Is greater than the wisdom of this world. So God decided to do it in the best way that it would be absolutely, totally impossible for it to succeed. Boy, that doesn't do too much for your self-worth, does it? Huh? Hallelujah. But that was the plan of God. Now, how can I say that? Huh? What is my scriptural basis for saying that? Well, in Revelation, hallelujah. Revelation, is it 21, Mark? Well, maybe it's 8. I want the Lamb. 17.
You saw the Lamb slain from the foundation?
Oh, yeah. It's Revelation 13. I'm sorry. Turn to Revelation 13. Hallelujah. And let us read this scripture. Hallelujah. Let's go up a little bit. I suggest that you go home, you read the entire chapter, and see whether or not I'm taking it out of context. Hallelujah. I don't believe in taking scripture out of context. You've got to take it in context. And the context of this scripture is that there was war in heaven. Huh? Between the devil and his angels and the creation that God had made. There was a war being fought. And it says in verse 7, and it was given to him, the devil, to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So everything is included in this particular position of Scripture. Now here, listen to what it says. And all that dwell upon the earth worship him. Who? The devil. Hallelujah. But it says, whose name, what, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Slain from where? On Calvary? Is that what it says? No. What does it say? From the beginning? Does your Bible say that? It says from the foundations of the world. Is that what your Bible says? I need to know. Your Bible says that. So that means Revelations right here, all the way back here. In the beginning, isn't that right? Foundations of the world. When was the world formed? Genesis chapter 1. Hello. Hallelujah. So the authority to be given and the position of overcoming was something that was available from the very beginning. Hallelujah. Now, why would God make it available from the beginning? Huh? Because he was working toward achieving an objective. Hello, are you there? So when devil came into the garden, right? God knew it. Do you think God didn't know it? Huh? Why didn't he say to Adam, Adam, you need to go over there and tend to your wife. She's over there talking to the devil. Hallelujah. You think God didn't know it? Come on. Huh? He was walking and talking with Adam. Huh? And he knew all the time devil was over there working. Why? Because he had already made a provision. Huh? And there was a working out of that provision through the lives of the people that were going to come up until the end of time as we know it in what he calls Omega. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is an Omega God? Alpha Omega God, eternal need with time. The time frame is like a incubator, if I can use that term, to develop something that would take that amount of time in order to come forth. Hallelujah. You know, if you have with me, if you turn with me over here to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Where we were when we began, chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, it's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That liberty is given to us for one reason, that we all with open face, that means with honest position and awareness of what it is that we are seeing. Hallelujah. Are what? Changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So the process of change. God instigated the process of change. Hallelujah. So time, time is given to us to work the position, the place of change. Now, hallelujah. That change is not on the change that you have to change into is progressional. You understand what I mean? Am I losing you? Huh? It's progression. That means one generation comes and fights and perseveres and overcomes, and they are until they are overcame. You understand? Hebrews? Hebrews? Chapter 11? Huh? Hebrews? Chapter 11 that talks about those that have gone on before us. We call it the chapter of heroes. Various names. But they were, it says, but they refused deliverance.
Yeah.
For what? A better hope of resurrection. Hello? Hallelujah. They refused deliverance. And it goes through a list of things that they for a better hope of deliverance. So, in a nutshell, our position of faith is progressional. As we come into a knowledge of God, we are able to utilize the knowledge that they possessed. Hello? That's what your Bible is for. Your Bible gives you an awareness or a position of knowledge of what men did in extenuating circumstances and overcame. Like Stephen when they were stoning him. Hallelujah. What did he say? Father, lay not this sin to their charge. You know, I have enough trouble if somebody walks up to me and slaps me on the face. Huh? I have enough trouble turning the other cheek. Of course, you probably have it mastered, right? You probably have it well under control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I once heard a story about a man who was a minister in a church, and a man came up to him and whopped him right in the face. You know, and he did his biblical best. He turned the other cheek. Huh? And so that man hauled off and slapped him again. Hallelujah. And then the minister lost it. He lost it. And he beat the man. He beat the man, and when they asked him later, why did you? Well, it says the Bible says I'm to get slapped on one cheek and turn the other cheek, but it doesn't say. And then the man punched him or something, but it doesn't say anything after that. So I figure I had the liberty to beat him. Hallelujah. Oh boy. It says that the Spirit giveth life, but the letter killeth. And that's just about what he did to that man. He almost killed him. Hallelujah.
Are you going to say the man is created by the image of God? What about the image?
What about?
Angel.
I didn't hear it. What about what?
Angels. Yeah.
Well, we're not living in a dispensation of angels. We are living in a dispensation of man. You know, I have enough trouble just getting God into man to have to worry about angels. Hallelujah. So I'll leave that revelation to somebody else. Hallelujah. It says that you and I are supposed to work out our own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So that means along the way, I can do something that would disqualify me. Hello. Hallelujah. You know, I like the drawing that Brother Mark had. I'm just going to draw it in a different way, if I may. We'll have his position here. Then we have these, right? And then you have these different positions of authority of the Gentiles, right? Hallelujah. God said, that is not the position or the government that I want to establish. What is it that God wants to establish? Huh? Well, what he wants to establish is a mechanism that the New Testament calls a body. Huh? A body. Your Bible talk about the body of Christ? Huh? Right. So God is working in the arena of authority in building a body. Right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like I said, my drawing. Hallelujah. Now, how does my body work? What authority does it use? Huh? What is the authority over my body? What is it? It's my head. Hallelujah. And the head is Jesus Christ. The head is the position and the mind of God. What the Bible says is, let therefore this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Now, how does my body work? Huh? Now, if this hand is against this hand, there's a disease. Something's wrong with the head. It's the wrong head. Have you ever noticed something? I'm here, and I reach for this bottle, right? With this hand. This hand automatically comes up, and it opens the lid. Huh? There's nothing. This hand doesn't say to this hand, move, man, move. Get over here. Open the lid. Something happens automatically. Hallelujah. And you know, if there's something on my back that needs to be scratched, you know, my hands are not in conflict with my body. My body says, will you help me out here? And my thumb goes back here and I start scratching. Hello? Hallelujah. There's no conflict. My arms are not working against each other. My feet are not working unless something's wrong with my body. And when there's something wrong with my body, what happens is motor interruption. You understand? Hallelujah. Motor interruption. That means some alien thing has got into my body and is working contrary to the way that it is supposed to work. Hallelujah. Now, this is what God was taught. This was what God calls church. Hallelujah. Church is supposed to equal the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because it says that he is given the position of headship. Hallelujah. And you know something? Anything the head tells my body to do, it's got the interest of my body in its thoughts. You know, my head doesn't tell my hand to stick itself in the fire. Huh? Hallelujah. My head doesn't tell my legs to run out in front of the car. Huh? My head doesn't tell my legs or my functions of my body to do something contrary that is going to harm my body. Hallelujah. But it works in conjunction with the interest of the body in mind. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. This is the concept. And it's in there. It's in the scripture. If you were to go into Ephesians and you look at some of the scriptures, I think it's in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, where it says, Christ is head of the church. Hello? Even as what? The man is the covering or the head of the woman. My goodness. Hallelujah. And you know, I have to keep the thought of Christ in the body with my perception of my position of husband with regards to my wife. I'm not going to do things that will hurt my wife. Hello? Hallelujah. Because it's her interest that I am supposed to have. Now, when that breaks down, then my wife is in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the responsibility and the accountability is upon my shoulders. Hallelujah. So it is very much necessary for us to understand the reality of what it is that God is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is so much in this word. You know, there's so much in this word that we do not know. And God wants us to know it. God is working diligently so that we may know it. Hallelujah. And it is not that we're anything special and that we do not make mistakes and that we have overcome everything and anything. That is not the point. Hallelujah. We are people who are most miserable without God. But there is a concept, there is a position of revelation that God is bringing to His church in this hour that we desire to share, so that what God wants in the end will be something that will glorify God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. If you have questions, I'll try to answer them.